You are listening to Visionaries Wrestling Network, providing your perfect podcast experience.
This episode of Good Cop, Bad Cop is dedicated to the life and memory of Hana Kimura, the 22-year-old Stardom wrestler who tragically took her own life on the 23rd of May. This was an absolute tragedy that none of us could have saw coming. It's an absolute shame that it was apparently, from all the evidence that we've got, that we've seen in the last few days leading up to her unfortunate passing, that it was cyberbullying and people being horrible behind the protection of a keyboard. This is absolutely tragic. Hana was one of the most charismatic wrestlers. For me personally, she was one of the main wrestlers that got me into the Stardom promotion at the tail end of 2019. She was just so charismatic. All the stories and the outpouring of support from the wrestling community have been really nice to see. She won the 5-star Grand Prix, which is Stardom's kind of premier singles tournament. She won that last year, defeating Tokyo Cyber Squad teammate Konami in the final in what was frankly an amazing match. And she also held the Goddess of Stardom and the Artist of Stardom championships. It's just really sad to see her go. 22 years old, and it's really, really upsetting. I just hope this serves as a stark reminder that we need to be nice to each other now. Just be better people, you know. This was something that's affected myself and so many people personally, and here at Good Cop Bad Cop we would just like to extend our most heartfelt support to the friends, family and fans of Hana Kimura. I feel the best way to end this is the signature quote. Everybody is different, everybody is special. That's Tokyo Cyber Squad. Yes sir.
This is episode 92 of Good Cop, Bad Cop. We've got a couple of things to catch up with, first of all, Matt. Episode 90, the poll, very close. The second number of votes ever, and the most ever by a losing person, which was you. I had 52% for Pineapple Pete, and you had 48% for Otis. These polls have been really good recently. We've picked some ones that have been really close. We've had a lot of interaction, loving it. Last week, Orange Cassidy and Austin Theory. It was 50% after about an hour, which is when we get most of our votes in the first hour. And it was still within a few. I don't have the final figures, but I know it was very close. It was less than 5% win, I think, in the end. So that takes care of that. I had a feeling there was something else, but I can't remember what it was. I guess it was nothing important. This is what I got. This is what happens. I don't write notes down anymore.
You said that you had to roast me about something in the start of this episode before we missed last week's fantastic review, of course, of Riptide Wrestling, which is something we still need to get back and watch more at some point, Graham, by the way.
Yeah, I would like to.
Absolutely, we could get on that at some point. Remember, use the code GoodCopBadCop to go and watch that, of course, on powerslam.tv.
Absolutely. All right, so as you say, let's crack on then. Let's start off, kick off with some good cop moments then.
I'm avoiding the obvious one because that's going to be your cup of tea, no doubt. For me, it is
Wiping my brow. I was worried by because we didn't discuss who was going to go first, but I was like, all right, I'll let him go.
I'm leaving that one all to you, buddy. For me, it's Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews is my good comment of the week. He's the United States champion. And it was a match I didn't think he'd win. I thought they were going to keep it on Andrade and they were going to bury Apollo Crews again. He is the United States champion. And I've never been so pleased about a quote-unquote upset win of a title in my life. I did a bit of looking back through. 9 of the 45 US champions since the title was restated back in 9 of the 45 champions since okay, 9 of the 45 since it started back in 2003 have been African American. Only 9.
I would say that's kind of a high percentage in relation to world champions. I'll do the math for you. I'll help you out. That's 20% for that title. But I think for US heavyweight or the WWE title, it's less than 20%.
Well, yeah, WWE champion has only been one. So.
Exactly. Which even you know is less than
20%. Yeah. Well, in any case, I would be very, very mean and ask you to name those 9. But I'm not going to. But what I will say is that
half of that period, I think that would be pretty fair not to do that.
But what I will say is, of those 9, 8 are still with the company. One of them is in the Hall of Fame, Booker T. The only one who isn't is Orlando Jordan. Everyone else, so Booker T, Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, of course, MVP, R-Truth, Ricochet, and Kofi Kingston, and now Apollo Crews. All of them with WWE still, apart from Orlando Jordan, which shows people say that some people have been saying on social media about Tommy gave African Americans a chance in wrestling. They do. They do. Have you not seen The Rock? he was one of the biggest stars of all time, and he's got African American blood in him. It's people complain that certain people aren't always given a chance, and I'll agree to some extent that would be the case, that can happen. But as you said, Graham, it's quite a high percentage. I mean, you know, it's nice to see that, in my opinion, the colour from the skin doesn't matter to me. It's a case of who that person is. But that's how I was brought up. I'm just happy to see someone with who's a workhorse like Apollo Crews has championship gold. And long may he continue to get that push he deserves.
Well, I actually had it as one of my unsure moments, so I might as well just raise it now anyway.
Go ahead.
It took 5 years. Should it really have took 5 years to get a belt on Apollo Crews? I've always been a fan of Apollo Crews personally. When I saw him on NXT that first time, I was like, whoa, that guy's good. The other reason it was unsure is, okay, he's got the belt on him right now. You think it's really going to lead to anything? I don't really. I think he'll hold it for a short while, then he'll lose it, and then he'll drift back down again. So I'm still unsure whether it was... I'm not saying he's not deserving of it, but I'm not sure if it's going to make any difference long term.
Well, of those, of the people who have held the United States Championship, the majority of them have gone to hold world championships. So it's possible.
So it was more than 23? It was 23 or more of those 45? You added them up? Or is that just your line?
I would say when you look at the list, it's John Cena, Eddie Guerrero, The Big Show, Alberto Del Rio, Kofi Kingston again, Bobby Lashley, the former ECW champion. He held that after the US champion as well. I could carry on. You've got a 5-time WWE champion Booker T as well.
I don't want to name 23 people. I'm going to move on to my good cop moment then. The Double or Nothing event, I'm assuming that's what you were alluding to. We didn't talk about what we're going to talk about. I certainly haven't seen the whole event, and I've certainly seen highlights of a few matches, and I've seen all of some of the matches. And I could have talked about several, but I'm going to pick out a few. The Gauntlet Bladder match, I was obviously very excited about. Having seen Orange Cassidy the previous week, the match against Rey Fénix, I was excited to see what that was. Perhaps the only thing that was slightly disappointing that was the reveal. There were several people who were discussed who was going to be the mystery person. And it was Brian Cage, which is fine. I like Brian Cage. But I think it was probably the most likely ones of the people that came in. I thought it was fun. It was a really entertaining match, and that's basically all I'm looking for. Other people might pick out mistakes in it, and some people said there was things that they didn't like in it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun match to watch. I said the boys would really like it as well. And that was one. And obviously the other one, the Stadium Stampede match at the end. I love these heavily scripted matches. I'm telling you, Matt, I could quite happily just only ever see heavily scripted matches for main events now, and I'd be quite happy. They add that extra little bit in where they can put in all the little things that they want to that they can't normally put in because there's people there. And the fact that they get away with doing that, There was just so many little things on that. I love the suplexes for the whole length of the field. I thought that was ridiculously silly. There were so many things in that. The Gatorade being poured over them at the end. The fact that some people were wearing skins and some people were wearing jerseys. There were so many little touches there. The fact that they can pan from one side to the other and film all the different parts, I thought was perfect. Whereas normally you can't. Sometimes on those matches, it's like, what am I supposed to look at? Because you can look at one side at something that's going on and then miss the important thing on the other side. So when it's heavily scripted like that, you don't miss anything, obviously, because everything's being recorded. I thought it was really fun. For me, it was a standout match. And even those two, there was still one other match that for me, well, a couple of other matches that break me. Hikaru Shida winning the AEW women's title as well. And Chris Statlander is now the number one contender. I couldn't be any happier. That was actually very close to. We discussed this, actually. I suggested as our bragging rights poll, why doesn't one person pick two moments and the other person gets to pick which of the two they would like? And that would guarantee that the moments are going to be equal. I was very close to picking Hikaru Shida tagging with Chris Statlander for my moment last week as well. If you'd have picked Orange Cassidy, I would have gone with Hikaru Shida tagging with Chris Statlander. Love both of those two wrestlers. I think they're very entertaining to watch, and I was thoroughly happy with those. Sorry, not a Riho fan. You well know that. I think Hikaru Shida is much better than Riho was, and hopefully Chris Statlander will get her time as well.
It's certainly something which is prevalent right now. I mean, the heavy scripted cinematic matches are something which we're all right behind. I mean, let's face it, as I've said many times before, if you'd ask me at Royal Rumble, going forward about cinematic matches, would I be approving of that? I'm like, not so sure. After seeing Boneyard and Funhouse and Corporate Money in the Bank and now the Stadium Stampede match, I could see this being something going forward in the future. Maybe not all the time, because once we get back to normal again, because we want to get back to normal, obviously, it'd be nice every now and again to break it out every now and again. Because House of Horrors, when Wyatt versus Orton did it, it was terrible. But this one, this stuff, is right up our street. And you can hear more about my opinions about this on What You Talk About Willis this coming Sunday, when James asks me about it. Right, okay. Okay, AJ Styles with Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown. So much better than the match that we had 2 years ago over the WWE Championship. How did it take 2 years for them to put on this belter? Which made me think Shin was phoning it in during that feud a little bit. The fact that AJ Styles is now on SmackDown itself, brilliant. They actually traded him to SmackDown. Makes sense. Bulk out also a bit more. Styles countered the triangle trick into a Styles clash. Phenomenal. Pun intended. Right, Monday Night Raw stuff. The Plastic Wolves and the In Performance Center recruits in the crowd. Taking a page out of AEW's book a little bit, I grant you, but it did kind of help. I must concede on this one. I've been saying that I liked being able to hear everything, but this was the right mix, in my opinion. You could still hear what's happening, but you could also hear some crowd stuff. It was nice. The Plastic Wolves is probably the future going forward for WWE as well, unfortunately. When we go back to live events, that'll probably be there permanently now, unfortunately. And I loved Drew McIntyre's intensity. It was fantastic. He was intense as all hell. He wants this match with Lashley, and I want to see this match with Lashley.
I actually like the perspex or whatever it was around the outside as well. It reminded me like of a hockey arena. I think if they're talking about that, could well be what's going to happen when the fans come back. And I think that could actually be used as an extra tool anyway. Like hockey fans love watching the fights pretty much, and people getting crushed against the boards. I think anything that can be used as a weapon can only be a good thing. I think that's definitely going to add to matches.
I can see Seth using it, especially in his current guise, how he's using his stuff around the ring to help him, well, basically take people out, let's face it. Okay, your yep. Sir.
Yeah, I've just got one, really. Obviously, we're not recording an episode last week. The death of Shad Gaspard, which sounds like obviously is a bad cop moment. The fact that all the other wrestling organizations put something out there, WWE, AEW, and we talked about this before. MLW, I noticed at the weekend did as well. The start of their shows, they all put something up. And I thought that was good that they, even though it wasn't necessarily from their organization, that people took the time to acknowledge his career and that can only be a good thing. And also the people who've responded to his GoFundMe account as well. I know the request was to get 100,000, and he managed to do that very quickly for the family. People who you wouldn't necessarily expect from other organizations. I saw Cody put money in, Chris Jericho, Tony Khan had put money in, and supposedly, of course, we don't actually know, John Cena apparently put 40,000 in.
Yeah, that's been unofficially confirmed. Everyone pretty much taken it as gospel.
But nice that people have rallied around and done the right thing in regards to that unfortunate incident. All right, don't forget, if you want to catch the best indie wrestling action as well, don't forget to go and check out powerslam.tv. And if you use code GOODCOPBADCOP, all lowercase, then you can get 30 days free. Good!
Bad!
You don't need to say anything else. All right, I'm getting a bad cop look right now for interrupting my guest host. So I'm obviously going to be one of the moments. Give me your main bad cop moment for the week.
Ember Moon. Her career may be over. The injury she sustained, obviously hasn't been back in the ring for a long time. On backstage last week, she said that she might be able to come back from this one. Which, if that's the case, is devastating because she's phenomenal in-ring talent. Graham looks very dejected by her because I know he's a big fan of her work as well. Not as much as other people, I'm sure, but she's no one ever wants to see anyone's career ended by injury, of course. But yeah, how do you make a stunner the best finisher of all time? Better jump from the top rope over someone. Yes, it requires a lot of setup, but to be fair, so does the Stone Cold Stunner. If Ember's career is over, I personally will be very disappointed. I'm hoping it's not, but that's a bad comment for me. Everything was just a bit petty, really, this week, but that one was very important for me.
I've seen her at AIW. That's the organization up in Cleveland, because obviously we go up there. Not in person, but I've watched some of their events on television since. And I can't remember. I'm going to say it's Athena, but I'm not 100% sure on that character name. And also, I don't think I mentioned this last time we talked, I've been watching through Mason's Ring of Honor DVDs.
Yeah.
So I've been watching pretty much a pay-per-view a day, wherever possible, at least 5 pay-per-views a week. And she's been on that. So that's why I've been seeing her more recently than what obviously people have on WWE. And without a doubt, a great talent. And that would be a real shame if that was the end of her career.
Amazing, guys. I'm happy to watch Ring of Honor pay-per-views 5 a week, but you try and get me watching from pre-2000 WWE. Impossible. Okay, Graham, what's your bad cop of the week?
Bad! Alright, my bad cop. This is kind of a really serious one. Obviously, 3 weeks ago, we had an episode where we only talked about positive stories, because we wanted to ignore the negative. And then since that, obviously, we've had the passing of Shad Gaspard and Hannah Kimura as well. So that's kind of brought things down. Now, obviously, relating to the Hannah Kimura, that sounds like, without a doubt, that's down to online bullying, cyberbullying, people just not being nice. And you would think the day after, people, you've seen requests for people, hey, look, we need to wise up. We need to be nice. And within a couple of days afterwards, JD's making comments about Alexa Bliss online. And there's multiple other ones as well. I'm not going to read you who this tweet's from, but I'm going to read the tweet, Matt, to you. It absolutely breaks my heart how cruel people can be on social media. It was an amazing honor to know Hannah Kimura. She was an amazing girl with the kindest soul and immense passion and work ethic. I'm at a loss of words over this tragedy. Rest in peace, my friend. The response, nice tweet, nice sentiments, right? The response to it from, not going to mention the person, laugh my ass off, you probably bullied her in real life. The first tweet was from Tessa Blanchard. Now, I'm getting a feeling that people aren't picking up the messages here. People are still not being nice to each other. I got another one I saw today. I have to admit, I don't know this person. Have you heard of Candle Maine? She's 18 years old. She's a female wrestler. And a female referee, I apologize.
Okay.
And she was trained by Britt Edwards. Quote, gotta love social media. I just called a slut for mentioning that I have a boyfriend. I thought we went over this, you guys. Be kind. End quote. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happened. Obviously, the Hannah Kimura one is the more relevant one for this one in the nature that she died. I'm not seeing any improvement. I'm pleased to say that a lot of people complain on Twitter that they're seeing a lot of these comments. I think I probably either blocked these people or never followed them in the first place. But yeah, the fact when you still hear these stories, like, did we learn anything? I can't remember, Matt, I have to admit, the person from Britain who you talked about on An Open Agenda who died. I think she was a reality TV star. And I heard somebody mention her on Facebook today, actually said, when are we going to learn? I thought we agreed after this that we were going to be nice to people. And it still hasn't really transpired, even days after somebody's died for that very reason.
Caroline Flack.
Thank you. For me, that was the standout bad cop moment by a country mile.
I can't disagree with you on that one. I had picked up on what JD had said about Alexa Bliss. I wasn't going to pay attention to it because I didn't want to give him any more publicity for it. I did like the fact of how people basically shot him down in balls of fire, Alexa Bliss herself, but also other people like Braun Strowman jumped on it, which surprised me. I thought he was staying away from social media the last time. But also the real Keith Lee was on there as well. Basically, everyone jumped on and basically told him where to go, basically, which is great. Be kind to someone, because sooner or later, you're going to need someone to be kind to you. And karma's got a nasty way of coming back to bite you. Right.
As well. We've still got some more. Why not keep going with those bad cop moments?
Starting with SmackDown. The Miz complained that he and Morrison won because of the Universal title match at WrestleMania. Miz, you couldn't compete with me because you weren't well. So what the... I had to check myself there. What are you going on about? Hey, hey, ho, ho, Miz Morrison is more annoying than Good Cop Shark right now in my head. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to mute SmackDown. Right, why are we still getting Ziggler and Otis? It's done. Why can't we move on from this storyline? It's done. Very uneasy watching the Rollins attempt at blinding Humberto Carrillo. Tried to burn as well. Didn't actually do it this time, but I was uneasy watching it, which I'm guessing is what they're going for. Rob Gronkowski's promo was terrible. Seriously, I've heard it's just terrible. It was absolutely terrible. Silly, who's sending the promo clock? Where'd he go for it? Vince Russo. Okay, and MVP said it took Bobby Lashley 13 years to get a WWE title opportunity. Really? He had two in 2007, the year after he debuted. He lost them both. So, yeah, it took him like 6 months to get a title opportunity. First, he needs to get another one, perhaps, because he left the bloody company. Anyway, Graham's looking at me like he wants to come back at me or something, so the floor is yours.
I only watched highlights for that, so I don't know the exact quote or anything. He's got another shot, though, now, doesn't he?
He's got a shot. He took him 13 years.
So that was 13 years from 2007. Is that what he was referring to? Did he just misspeak? Did you misinterpret? 2007, 2020, 13 years?
13 years would imply he never had a shot at a championship.
I don't know the exact wording, so I'm just wondering if it said it's 13 years since he's had a shot. That's what I was trying to allude at.
Well, yes, that would technically be the case. If you're going
to start... I don't know for sure. I was just making me wonder. I'm going to disagree with you on Gronkowski. I thoroughly enjoyed that, but I didn't put it in my speed check. Because there was something more important I needed to talk about. My bad cop speed check is actually me. Something that I should have mentioned on MGB episode 15. I was doing a Nova Pro review. I had Blade Job on at Nish Guy, and we were talking about David Starr. And also on the special, the bonus clips, we also talked a little bit about CZW as well, because I wanted to get his opinions on that. And I totally missed the quote from David Starr. So David Starr said, when a wrestler agrees to a booking, there's an implication that you're given permission for the promotion to use your likeness for their mediums. However, when a third party comes in to buy that footage, paying those whose likeness is featured must be factored into that payout, end quote. And that certainly hasn't happened. And that was something that was very pertinent to both of those two sections, the CZW and the David Starr. And I just totally forgot to include it. So it seemed like it would be appropriate to include it on this show.
Seeing as how you trashed my Gronkowski thing, I'm just going to quickly put a quick speed check. Bad cop moment in for you here, Graham, because you thought I was going to trash you about something this week. I got the option of listening to the MGB full review with of a Blade job interview on YouTube, which is great. Check it out, guys. It's worth checking out. Graham thought that I would pull him up on getting Twitch and Mixer mixed up. However, I was like, why would I trash you for that? You're like, because I got something really obvious about, that you know about wrong. I'm like, yes, that I know about. You don't. I wouldn't trash you for something you don't know about.
I was disappointed in myself for getting them mixed up. So for that reason, I know the difference between the two. Therefore, I thought it was a pretty easy target.
I'm trying to be kind, Graham.
Wow, good cop sides coming through. There we go. All right.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv. Good.
Bad. What didn't quite fit into your first two segments?
Okay. The news of this I got via Cultaholic News, so apologise in advance if it's not 100% accurate, but I have seen other people report it as well. So, WWE may never go back to house shows. AEW didn't approach that model because it was, quote, outdated. Given the current climate, it makes sense to not excessively risk overcrowding at non-TV events, for sure, I get that. But at the same time, my first experience of WWE was at a house event. I'm pretty sure the same was for Mason and for Jackson, of course.
It was for Jackson. It wasn't for Mason, actually. For Mason, our first event was the pay-per-view, I think. I'm not sure for Mason. I can't remember. I remember we were on the fall. I don't remember. Perhaps it was a house show. It was in DC. We've been to a few now at DC, so they all tend to blend into one. But for Jackson, definitely. He still talked about going to WWE Fairfax.
Which is always great, and make sure next time actually you can go to it, Graham, make sure you do take a remote control robot. the thing for me, though, is I'm unsure if it's a good moment or not, because I get it, but see if you can't get to Raw and SmackDown. I mean, you can speak from experience here, Graham. When we went to WrestleMania weekend, the tickets for when we went to WrestleMania were much, much more expensive than house shows that you went to with and Fairfax. I grant you that's that and that, but that's the whole point. You go to the house shows to then get the bug to go to the big shows. But as AEW proven, you don't need to do that model anymore. So, I don't know. Would you be happy to not see him come back?
I'm okay with that decision. I also think Tony Khan has a lot more money than Vince does as well. So, I think that's slightly different. I think that they don't make the money from the tickets of those events, but they make their money from the merchandise, that's for sure. Because you get the more casual fan going. So, I'm not sure on that side. I know you definitely want to get fans involved. We've talked about merch before and how important that is. And, yeah, it's something that's in America. It's like it's on the calendar. You know it's coming every year. Like, we know the Harlem Globetrotters are coming into town once a year. And for some people, they'll go and see it every year. Same for WWE. Same for, like, I guess the equivalent in England would probably be like pantomimes. Like, you know, you kind of get those at the local theatre before. So, yeah, it is part of something that's on the
calendar. What a big difference.
There is. Well, I can't think of a touring company that sort of relates to that in England. I can't think of a more an obvious one. But I guess a band who would tour.
WWE come to England all the time.
Okay. Not where I lived, I guess. I guess that's the difference. They tend to go to like Manchester, London, and then that's probably about it. Liverpool.
Birmingham.
And that's it. I don't know. Perhaps it's different now because I live so close to DC that pretty much everybody comes through DC. So there's always some
calls as well. So that helps now, of course, as well. So.
Like you, I agree. I can see good and bad in this. So I can see why it falls into the unsure category for you.
Okay, so unsure moment for you, then, Mr. Graham.
Well, mine, I was deliberately not saying much from a previous segment, and then you just carried on talking anyway, so you've already talked about most of this already. This is something that Dennis Farrell tweeted out the other day. I get the hate for this JD from NY Clown, but until every wrestler feels the need to bring him up, I had never heard of him. Why don't we all just block him, move on, instead of giving him a voice? And most people were quite happy with that. I'm still unsure. I still think you got to call him out on this. Now, there were people who were bullying him back, which is clearly not the right response. I don't think you can't fight bullying with bullying. That's not going to get anything done at all. I don't know. I think you have to call it out. If you don't call it out, it becomes acceptable. And not wanting to get too political, but number 45, he does like to say a few things. And if you don't call him out on that, then it's becoming more socially acceptable to do so. So I don't think that people are... If people are liking him because he's, I don't know what word we want to use, a bad cop, let's say. What can we do about those types of people anyway? Because they clearly, if that's the type of thing that they like, but I think you need people to call him out on this. I actually was the sole voice who said, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I think you do need to call him out. I think you should block him as well, but I think whenever you get a chance to on social media, you should take that opportunity to say, no, this is not acceptable. I don't agree with that. I did see this morning, actually, Paige tweeted, I also encourage people not to talk crap to mine or anyone else's haters. Simply report their tweet or account. It works much better. So Paige has actually responded to that. I think it was like 3 a.m. this morning. I think that tweet came out, although it was probably in the morning. I guess it might be UK time. I don't know where Paige is right now. It clearly links into my main bad cop moment as well. But yeah, still, I don't think people quite know what the best response is. But yeah, blocking and reporting, I think, is definitely something. We've seen that before. We've seen that before where people have said it. And said, I'm going to go report that person. Perhaps I just need to make a better effort at doing it. Sometimes I'll just ignore straight. I'll just block them straight away. Perhaps I need to make a more of an effort sometimes.
Maybe. Okay. My speed check, sir. It's two questions for you because they're unsure. I'm pretty sure that you're unsure of the answers. Okay. So question number one for you this week, Graham, is how old is Jeff Hardy?
How old is Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy is 42 years old. It's probably 43, though.
42.
Oh.
Same age as John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And, ironically, the same age as Hannah Montana's brother in the TV show. Don't. They're the same age. Same age. Didn't know that. It got tweeted out this week. I'm like, I think Benjamin Banks tweeted it out, actually. Well, the other question I have is, the first autograph that Mason got on the Indies was Sanjay Dutt, I believe, wasn't it?
Correct, it was.
Who does he work for now?
He works for WWE.
He does. He's a producer for WWE. I wasn't sure if you knew that, you see?
I did.
I saw that and I heard him mention again. I'm like, I keep meaning to talk to Graham about this. Wouldn't have you knew the great Sanjay Dutt was now a producer of WWE? Fantastic, I think. He's involved in it. And one thing that normal again, I can't wait to see. Maybe his influence has been a part of what's been going on with these special matches and things. If that's the case, Vince has hired well. I haven't got much else this week, but if I'm sure was very hard to dig up this week because it was very black and white for me this week.
Well, I'm glad you a couple of softballs on those questions, because I was pretty sure I knew the Jeff Hardy one, because we actually looked it up on my phone less than a week ago. It basically came because of the clip I put out where Mason can't tell the difference between Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, there's like 5.5 years. So we looked it up to see, and we could easily tell. And the way you could tell them apart was one was wearing an armband and one wasn't, which I thought was hilarious.
Couldn't tell apart a police lineup.
But he's been watching the Ring of Honor DVD, so that was the thing that... Because I was like, oh, you haven't seen them? He's like, yeah, I have. It's like, I watch Ring of Honor. I was like, oh,
man.
So then think about Matt and Jeff. So I actually did look it up, because I have a six-year-old who asks questions like 10 a minute. So constantly I'm on my phone. What's the tallest mountain in the world? What's the fastest winds that have ever happened? What's the most expensive painting bought in auction? And like, I'm getting a barrage of these questions. How old is Jeff Hardy? That was one that actually got asked. So I was pretty sure it was 42, but I was like, at worst, it's 43. I remember thinking he was a little older than I realized, actually. But I was making the same point that I knew Matt was a little older than Jeff.
2.1, I thought they were twins.
Oh, you thought that too?
Yeah. So Mason off a hook on that one, mate. I didn't know. And two, we know Jackson likes to talk a lot. He has.
Doesn't do that anymore, but he still has he has some of the slight nuances that he does now. But it's like, Dad, let me tell you about, and then he'll go right back to the start. Dad, let me just carry on with a sentence once you've figured out what it is. You don't need to go back to the start. I got it. You're talking to me.
Jackson, I beg you, get older, but never grow up. Go on.
I set up a nice segue and you interrupted it with 2 points, but my unsure speed moment related to Matt Jackson. I set it up perfectly, then you cut me up, but never mind. Matt Jackson is my unsure moment. His wife, Dana Massey, revealed that he worked with a broken rib in that stadium stampede. He was the one that, I don't know if you have seen it yet, he's the one who jumped from the football crossbar. I was like, oh my gosh. And he did that with a broken rib. I'm not sure that was necessary to do that under that situation. I'm sure they could have put in a replacement. We haven't seen much of the brothers recently anyway, so I think we could have still done that match without the Young Bucks, and it still would have been perfectly okay. But yeah, to me, I don't know if that was worth the risk. My other one was Apollo Crews, but we already talked about that earlier because it was relevant at the time.
Good. Bad. Okay, cool. Right. Graham, seeing as how you won the recent poll, you get an open agenda, sir.
I get two, right? Nah, I'm not doing two.
If you want to move, and go for it. Do a speech at the second one.
Easily fit it into a good cop moment, but it didn't quite work this week, so I had other things I wanted to talk about. I saw this from WOWKTV. Quote, the headline was, man who lost job during COVID-19 plans to open pro wrestling burger shop. This is from Charleston, West Virginia. It's going to be called Squared Circle Burgers. He's also a wrestling promoter for International Combat Sports, and he's hoping to be open in the summer. I love feel-good stories like this. I know the food business can be really fickle. I really hope it works out, and I'm sure you're going to want to know. It's 5.5 hours away from where I live, because I checked.
We are so going. I will critique that place so heavily. But at the same time, if he's a proper chef, you hope he is, if you're opening it up, keep it simple. Just keep it simple. Don't be flash, just keep it simple. I love it. I thought you were going to ask me to suggest ideas for names
If I knew that my day wasn't so crazy, I've been trying to, wherever possible, keep this episode as short as possible, because I also have another interview for MGB that's coming out this week in a very short time as well. So I was trying to keep this as short as possible, but under normal circumstances, I would have probably asked you for that information. Good. Bad. All right, the devil's advocate, where we have to defend just for fun a statement that we probably don't agree with for 20 seconds. I will give you the choice. Would you like to go first or second? And if you haven't listened to these ones on the talk at the table, as I was guest on there, I managed to do, we got 4 extra ones in there as well for your pleasure. I did not know Conrad hadn't done one before. I feel kind of bad about that. I assumed he had. Uh-oh. Never mind.
No, he did get a good try there, bless him. And I messed up because I didn't understand, because I didn't hear part of the answer, because at that point your volume just dropped a little bit. That's my own fault. No one else's. I was happy with it, but Graham smashed it. Graham, I will go first, please.
You'll go first. All right. Oops. Jeez, I'm out of habit. As soon as I start talking, I press the start button. I forgot. I've got to read the statement. All right. The event Double or Nothing costing about £40 in the USA, but only £20 in the UK.
Absolutely. The UK clearly deserves a discount because we are going through a bigger financial crisis than you over there. Everything's over here right now. We're all going to pay more tax over here. We deserve discounts. So when it comes down to it, we pay more for the network as well. We pay £9.99 a month. You got to pay $9.99 over there. You pay less over there. We deserve a discount over here.
I'd forgot about that. You do pay more for that one. So, yeah. But double the price? $50 it was. Not surprisingly, I did not pay the $50. I did not need to watch it live. I was quite happy to watch some highlights the following morning. And that sufficed for me.
Right. I have got two for you. One is silly and one is ridiculous. So, which you prefer, silly or ridiculous?
That's the same, isn't it?
No.
All right, we'll go with silly.
Okay. Graham, he offered this guy, okay, your devil's advocate for 20 seconds is, what I've missed most about lockdown is lime-flavoured milkshakes. Go.
Of course, we've been talking about this multiple times with the boys recently. Like, you've got to have some variety. I was going to say, during this COVID, it's just the repetition of things. Everything's exactly the same. Every day is the same as each other. You kind of lose track of what day is which. So why mix it up? Why would you not go for something like banana, vanilla, chocolate? That's an everyday thing. Mix it up with lime, get your fruit in, one of your five a day.
And time, sir. Well done.
Yeah, we played a guessing game with the boys. I was like, guess what flavor milkshake Matt had? And they, of course, were like chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, banana. Like, nope, 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 nope. And then finally they gave up. And I was like, lime. And they were like, oh. I was like, exactly. I have no idea why you did. I'm not sure they even make lime milkshake.
It shouldn't work, but it works. And the company who does it in the UK is Wimpy. And Wimpy are one of the best milkshakes in... Well, you went to have Wimpy over here, Graham, wasn't you?
Yeah, I know Wimpy, yeah.
Yeah, well, the lime milkshake, it was beautiful and delicious. Next time you're over, I'm buying you one.
I got just one question, though.
Go on.
What does that have to do with wrestling?
No.
We have wrestling-themed devil's advocates. That had nothing to do with wrestling.
I said, did you want silly or did you want ridiculous?
So you just totally changed the rules. Okay. All right. You're going to tell me the ridiculous one now?
The Stadium Stampede match is proof that cinematic matches don't work.
Ah, okay.
That's ridiculous.
I thought ridiculous could be one of those that's way out there. I think it's because we didn't have an episode. I actually put one up for you. While watching those Ring of Honor DVDs, I know you love your signs. A very classic one about Jar Jar's not so bad. And one of the fans had a sign, real men love zoos or something. It's like the most random.
What's wrong with a zoo?
Why would you have that as a sign at a wrestling match? When you said ridiculous, I'm like, there's no way I can prepare for this. I'm not going to be able to say anything for like 5 seconds. That was why I went with silly. I thought I might be able to deal with silly better than ridiculous.
You could have nailed both on that one. Okay. Normally we don't do promotion stuff, Graham, but please let me do this one because coming out tomorrow is a very special Game Junkies episode because it's the first interview that me and Alex have done since Edict last year. We've actually got two amazing game producers on of us. Please go and listen, guys, if you get a chance to. I've never been prouder of any interview I've ever done. So please give it a listen, guys. I appreciate it.
Of course, we could have done that after because now we do our little thing after the after we've had the credits play. But hey, never mind. Well, if you're doing it, then I'm doing it as well. I actually missed as a good pop moment because I didn't actually think about it at the time and I had other ones. Happy first anniversary to Primetime Pro Wrestling as well. It was their 1 year anniversary on a Tuesday. And for MGB's next interview, it will actually be with the owner of Primetime Pro Wrestling, Mr. Gator, as he's now known, formerly Coach Gator.
Can't wait to hear that. Check us out next week, guys, episode 93. Matt and Graham signing off. Boom. We're out of here.
Ah, he's been listening. We'll be right back.
Music Plus Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.
All right, keep it rolling. All right, you got anything?
I have. I've got two to catch up with. I'll go through them quickly. Right, okay, PWG Battle of LA Night 2. Avalanche is the catch-all phrase used for any move off the top rope. It's the catch-all phrase.
Okay.
Dakota Kai was the person who attacked Tegan Nox. You were perfectly right, Graham.
Woof. Wow, I'm shocked. I'm doing well this week. Man, I'm on fire.
Mason talked about referees' shirts being changed. Vince did that himself back in 2000 to screw Triple H. But Roman Mark, that is Mason, stating that Roman does the best dive over the top rope. No, he doesn't. I'm sorry. It's a good one, but doesn't do the best one. That would always, always, always be my boy Finn.
I mentioned, you're not going to mention that I said it was Finn Balor? Okay. All right.
You did indeed. And I personally think they will throw toilet roll, Graham, when they actually used up again. Because they've got to use it somewhere. Right. Now, Nova Product 2. You were talking about loser wear the diaper match.
Yeah.
This is not unheard territory. WWE did it once. X-Pac and the 1-2-3 kid and Scott Hall, as Razor Ramon, had a match where X-Pac ended up getting diapered up by Razor Ramon when he lost the match. Mason being annoyed about closed fists when it was mentioned by referee. I'm not sure why he was annoyed about it. The closed fist is illegal in wrestling. Texas Tornado matches are always chaotic, and normally they're not no DQ unless previously mentioned. So you were absolutely right on that side of things, Graham. Again, you're knocking out of the park. David Starr's had more nicknames than X-Pac from the sound of it over the years. So, you know, and he's had about 15, 16. So, you know, David Starr's clearly got a lot going for him. Nice try with Starstruck there on Mason. Nice try with Starstruck as a team name idea. 9 out of 10 for trying. Space Jam 2 is going to be big for sure, Graham, when it comes out. I'm sure you're going to reference that a lot when it comes out. Graham's nodding.
Yeah.
Okay. Finn Balor being fairly light, really? He's 230 pounds still, Graham. That's
he is?
Yeah.
No way. He's not 230.
His abs, maybe.
No way.
I'm sure he's about that sort of range.
There's no way.
It's the point where he now checks to make sure.
I got Skype going at the same time on my phone, apparently, which is annoying. But
I've got it, so let's see how wrong I am.
You're at least okay. 20 pounds.
I'm out on that one. But even so, it's still quite heavy.
I was going to say about 205. What is he?
Less. Right, okay. Anyway.
30 pounds out, nearly.
But in any...
This is supposed to be you correcting errors. Finn Balor was light.
It's me passing
comments. Finn de Gras, the most painful move. That must be why you're talking about it. Okay, gotcha now.
Yeah. Personally, I think the worst move to take is the power driver, personally. But figure four, when it's rolled over, reverses the pain because the knees are on the ground and it's being pressed down on. So that's why it hurts so much.
Uh-huh. Did you like some suggestion, though, for the most painful one?
Yes, I did like the fact that I actually got a mention, otherwise.
It was the one he suggested afterwards. It was like anything by Nia Jax.
That was a good moment. Definitely. I want to play that letters game at some point.
Letters game?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
What a week.
Oh, yeah.
Replay that one day. Mason's chuckle when you mentioned No Product 3. You mentioned No Product 3 was one you went to, and he has chuckled. I thought, yeah, boy. Take a choke slam, then tell me it doesn't hurt, Mason. Take a proper choke slam and tell me it doesn't hurt. It's always great to hear Ryan, obviously. I love that man dearly. And I love that Mason stole your boom. Now you know how it feels when people steal my catchphrase.
Oh, well, I left it in because he's like, you're going to edit it out. I was like, no. I was like, that was funny. See, I don't mind. I had a sense of humor about it, whereas you get all threatened legal action.
That was only once.
That was a totally over the top. Because it's not even original for you. Just like boom's not original for me. Plenty of people say it.
Yeah, well, on that note, Graham, you obviously were on Talk of a Table. What was your experience like?
Oh, I had an absolute blast. It was so much fun to do. My first moment probably wasn't necessarily the best one, but I was trying to think of ones that could get people involved with topics that they wouldn't be able to predict ahead of time. I was trying to come up with something that was a little out there. But it was really fun to do. I had an absolute great time. And I'm hoping that you guys definitely invite me back on again at some point.
You're definitely on the re-invite list for certain. Just don't try and do another Soup Gate, because with Skype now cancelling the background sound out, you can't do that.
Although, I was so proud of myself for having thought of doing that, and then it just didn't work. Oh, Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 94 in 2 weeks. It's going to be my last week of school. It's already we're getting ridiculous. Kids trying to make up work right at the last minute. It's only going to get worse. So I said find a guest host. And you said, well, how about Junior? Is he available? Well, actually, you're going to have two guest hosts. Right, JJ? Mm-hmm. So you're actually going to have two people with you. You're going to have Mason and you're going to have Jackson. So.
And Teddy, too.
Oh, Teddy as well. Oh, okay. We're going to get two people then. Okay.
That's
what to look forward to for episode 94. I told Mason it might mean he might have to watch some wrestling, though.
It'll be an absolute blast. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Are we done?
Absolutely. absolute blast. It as always, we'll see you next week, guys. We're out of here.
Jackson, come and say boom.
Boom.
Boom. You know what I got? Oh, that'll work.